Shall we bow our heads together now for a word of prayer? Father, we are grateful today for our Lord Jesus Christ and for the privilege of being able to pray together yet another day. We thank thee for thy goodness to us. We ask that thou wilt order our footsteps aright today. Help us to depend completely and fully upon thee. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, that portion of the Word of God we are studying together, the last book in the Bible, and notice with us Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. For we are studying what is termed the introduction to the book of the Revelation, pointing out to you some things that you will notice as you read through the book of the Revelation. Trusting as we do this, that as you read, you will be able to find certain landmarks so that you will know exactly where you are in time as the book of the Revelation is studied. We looked yesterday at the 7th verse of the first chapter, and we did not complete our meditation of the verse, so we need to think about it again today. Will you notice the words, please? Behold, he cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. We suggested to you that this verse describes what the book of the Revelation is all about, the second coming of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We pointed out to you that the second coming of Jesus Christ might be described as a drama in two acts. The first act is entitled The Rapture of the Church, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes for his church. There is an intermission of 7 years' duration, which is called the tribulation. It is followed by the second act of the drama, which is called the revelation of Jesus Christ. The rapture, when Christ comes for his church, the intermission, the tribulation, the revelation, the second act, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes with his church. We said that the various phrases in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, refer to the second act of the drama. And we believe that they can be interpreted literally. For example, we said, Behold, he cometh with clouds, is spoken of elsewhere in the Word of God, so it could refer to the atmospheric heavens, the same kind of clouds in which he went away, as is described in Acts chapter 2, when the angel said, This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. We said that these clouds could refer to the Shekinah glory of God, because every time that God made his appearance in vision unto men, he was clothed, surrounded, enveloped in the clouds of Shekinah glory. We said we know that some of these clouds, or the word could refer to the clouds of witnesses, which will return with the Lord Jesus Christ, the clouds of heavenly hosts. Because the Bible is very clear about it, that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to this earth, unnumbered of his saints, so many that you can't number them, will return with him. And as we pointed out to you, we will be included among that number. Then we read, Every eye shall see him. And we said that even though men poke fun at this statement in the light of the fact that our earth is a globe, how could every eye see him at the one and same time? We reminded you that men have accomplished much in this fantastic generation in which we live, so that events occurring in one part of the world are televised with the help of Telestar to the farthest corners of the world. If man can do this, then what can God do? We are not implying that God has to depend upon man's invention, Telestar. We are simply saying that if man, with his ingenuity, could do a thing like this, why should it be difficult for us to believe that God can fulfill the word, Every eye shall see him? Of course, we emphasize to you, and we would reemphasize this morning, that as far as we are concerned personally, it doesn't matter whether we can understand how it can be done. The Word of God declares it, and we believe it, because we believe that every word of God is inspired in the original text, and God has no problem in making come to pass that which he declares will be. Now today, we want to look at the third thing that is suggested in the seventh verse as being related to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the verse again, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him." Notice the last statement, "they also which pierced him." This, beloved, should be literally interpreted, for it is a reference to what is written in the 14th chapter of the book of Zechariah. In the 14th chapter of the book of Zechariah, there is recorded a reference to the Jewish nation. There we are told they are the ones who pierce the Lord of glory. And we are not saying that in the sense that they are any guiltier than the rest of the world. The rest of the world was there represented, yes, but we are talking about Israel at the moment. And in the 14th chapter of the book of Zechariah, we read, "Then shall they look unto him whom they have pierced," speaking of the Jewish nation. When they have looked unto him whom they have pierced, he leaves his place in heaven and comes down, and his feet stands upon the Mount of Olives. He comes as Messiah and Savior of the Hebrew nation. For if you read the statement that we just read, "Then shall they look unto him whom they have pierced," if you read that in the light of its context, you will see that the nation of Israel has come upon a sad time in its history when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Oh yes, they, the nation, have gone through many sad times. Persecution has been unjust, unfair, and unlimited. But they will come on another sad time, worse than anything they have ever known. For at the end of the age, after the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been translated, the Antichrist has made his appearance. He will make a treaty with the nation of Israel. He will delude and deceive them, and they will think, "At last we have somebody who understands, somebody who can help us with our problems," and he will cause them to think it the way he treats them. And then, in the middle of the tribulation, he will break the treaty that he has made with them. He will show himself in his true colors. He will go into the temple which they have built. He will sacrifice upon their altar the abomination which maketh desolate, and they will realize what tribulation is. For again, they will have to begin their sad flight to escape tribulation. Many of them will be hidden in the nations of the world again, wondering how long life could possibly last. And then, as the nations of the world are encamped round about the city of Jerusalem, where the greatest number of Israel will be congregated at that time, they will realize they've come to the end of the road. They will begin to wonder why all of this terrible time has come upon them. And then the Spirit of God will open their eyes, eyes that are blinded now, and they will realize that all of this has come upon them because they have rejected their Messiah, their Lord Jesus Christ. They will realize that they have pierced the one who had come to save them. And as Zechariah says in the 14th chapter, they will look not upon him, but they will look unto him in pleas to come and rescue them from the hand of their enemy. This is all the Lord Jesus Christ has been waiting for, because he had said, "I will go and return unto my place until they seek my face. And after tribulation, they will seek my face. I will go and return unto my place until." No sooner do they voice their plea, "Help us," until the Lord Jesus Christ will leave his place at the right hand of the throne of God and return to this earth. Oh, this is a thrilling thing to me. Now, you may smile and say, "What right have you to take all this literally?" You may smile and say, "Don't you know you're misinterpreting the scripture?" But you can't prove that, friend. For we have preached through the book of the Revelation something like 12 times, and we know it pretty well. And we know that God means what he says in his word. That's the reason why we love the nation of Israel. We know that God has great plans for her in the future. That's the reason why we want to do all we can to be kind to her, because she is God's chosen people. And that's the reason why we love to point out to our friends in Israel that their future is more glorious than their past, when eyes will be opened and Messiah will be received and acknowledged. Now, the last statement in the seventh verse is going to be literally fulfilled when we read, "And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." That is, all the nations of the earth shall mourn when they see the Lord Jesus Christ coming, because they will know that it is sudden destruction for them. For when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in the second act of the drama of the coming of Christ, he is coming for judgment. He will visit annihilation upon the Antichrist, upon the false prophet, upon all the armies of the world that band together to fight against the Lord Almighty. There's nothing encouraging, beloved, about the second act of the coming of Christ. There is nothing related to the blessed hope. It can only strike fear and terror in your heart. The sad thing is that most people think of this as the second coming of Christ. No, the rapture is the blessed hope. We look for his coming. Our time is gone today. We must leave you